Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 339. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want an audio tape or a CD. Either way, both of them are absolutely free, including the postage and handling. We have all sorts of literature that you can order as well. And if you're not able to get the, if you're hearing this radio broadcast early in the morning, you usually don't get up and you still want to hear it every day, you can order the CD or the audio tape and we'll send it to you absolutely free so that way you'll not have to miss any of the programs. Each one of them are building blocks to your soul, to your spirit, and you're not going to want to miss any of them. We can also order you can back order tapes and CDs, and we'll send them to you. And I've had actually thousands of messages that I've preached on and taught. There are hundreds of pieces of literature, and people are opening up universities with just my literature in them, and my CDs and audio tapes. And if you'd like to open up a university with it, just all you have to do is get written permission from me and get details from me, and I'll be more than happy to allow you to do that if your credentials stack up. All right, we have a strong message from the Word of God today. It's some Bible teaching on the compound spirit of the living God. A compound, if you go to a pharmacy, is not an ointment that has just one ingredient in it. That's why they call it a compound. And we're going to talk about the compound spirit of the Almighty God, so that you'll be able to understand better the Spirit of God, how to receive the Holy Spirit, the necessity of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the purity of the Holy Spirit, the ability of the Holy Spirit to keep you from sinning any longer. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I just love the Lord. And we have some testimonies as well. And right now, though, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord, the Father, in the name of Jesus, all one anyway, to anoint this service. Father, we ask that you enter into everybody in the listening audience to that they'll be able to understand your word. The words that we're teaching here today are spiritual and not carnal. And the carnal man, therefore, is not able to understand it. We just thank and praise you, Lord, that you've made us spiritual so that we are able to understand your word, because it's not understood by carnal people, people that have not been regenerated. And for those that are not regenerated, Father, let them be moved by your spirit today to where they'll just reach out to you and accept salvation. They'll receive the spirit of your spirit in them, and also to receive the compound spirit, your compound spirit into them, so that they are able to be in the ministry. Father, that the souls out in the world will be saved, and that the church will be able to be the implements, the actual tools, or the vessels that you use in this world to bring forth your bride, the church, the New Jerusalem. Lord, we thank you for the way that you've moved for us in so many areas in this world. We thank you for the way you've moved yesterday for one of our the different people, Lord, that have been causing a lot of trouble to the body of Christ. And we, you have assured me that you're going to move on the rest of those people. You've already taken You've done this already in Florida and also in the Arkansas area. And we know that when you've told me that you're going to do something, there's no doubt in my mind that you're going to do it and continue doing it until every last one has been accomplished, has been done away with, as you told me they would be, that you'd teach them a lesson. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, open the doors to abundant finances so that we can get the entire world evangelized quickly, because I know that you're coming back to earth again very soon. And Lord, I pray that the media, that you'll shut their mouth regarding all the false things that they're teaching about you, about global warming. It's just amazing if it, the important things, Lord, such as they stop the wars all over the world that the Vatican is starting and has started in the past. But everything that is said through me in this broadcast be directly from you, Father, and I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Move heaven and earth for us, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
Now, the Bible in the third chapter of the book of Mark states that Jesus entered into the synagogue again. And the Lord wanted me to... I did this message yesterday, but the Lord wants me to emphasize a few more things from this chapter, third chapter of Mark. And here's the Brothers Keepers, it's our quartet, to sing, "Enter in, Lord, enter in," and so the Lord can tell us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So the Lord has to be in us, and we have to be in him, and then we're able to enter in the kingdom of heaven. We're in the kingdom of heaven right now spiritually, but we want to see it with our own eyes. We walk by faith now, but we will see it. Hallelujah. Okay. Brothers Keepers, enter in. Praise the Lord, enter in. You know, you've kept the faith. Amen.
Amen.
That's really something, how people in these last days, it's just a sad thing when you read the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, how it states that there's a lot of people there'd be a falling away, that they didn't keep the faith, and that's very sad because they knew the truth. And in the first chapter of Romans, it says that these people knew the truth, but they decided to not keep the faith, and so they began doing wicked things that they knew the Bible said that you're not to do, like adultery, fornication, homosexuality, and all these things. Now, we see that has happened to even a handful of, several of the people in our church. We still have millions of people throughout the world that have been saved through this church. And just because you don't really call a building the church, the church is actually the spiritual body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a few of us here, a few of us there, they all add up throughout the world that are hearing these broadcasts and that have received the literature. And some have received salvation before, but they never knew the fullness of this, the Spirit or the Bible. And therefore, they are receiving a blessing from these broadcasts. And hopefully the same goes for you. Now we have some testimonies here this morning. Where's the first one from?
From Manila, the Philippines.
Okay, let's hear it.
Dear Evangelist Tony Alamo, I accidentally saw my long-lost friend Julian before the end of the year at a mall here in Manila. We had a chance to talk and be updated of our respective lives, and it was she who referred to me to tune in to the radio program in DWSS every Saturday and Sunday if I wanted to be touched by Jesus. True enough, I was able to listen to your program last Sunday, and I thanked and praised the Lord for the opportunity of seeing again my long-lost friend who was instrumental in telling me the good news, which is your radio program. Keep it up, and may you continue to bring back to the fold of God's loving arms lots of Filipinos who are now in the dark as to their future. I would also want to be an instrument of God's love and message to my countrymen, so I will also tell them about your program. God be with you always. Maria from Pasay City, Manila, Philippines.
Praise the Lord. You have another one. That's very encouraging to me. All right, then what?
From Toccoa, Georgia. Dear Pastor Alamo, I heard the shortwave program this morning at 5:30 a.m. I did like what I heard and felt it was right on target. I often think that Holy Scriptures are just too simple for most to take seriously.
Right, it's the simplicity of the gospel that stumbles people's souls. The Lord made the Scriptures so easy to understand that even a little 3, 4, 5-year-old child can understand them. He said that we must enter the kingdom of heaven like a little child. We must believe with all of our heart, just like little children do. Unless we become like little children to believe the gospel, the simplicity of it, that there's no possible way that we can enter into the kingdom of God. The world has made everything so complicated that most people figure that anything so profound and so deep as the Word of God, that it's just the Scriptures read so simple. But the simplicity of it is always the easiest to understand. God made it easy to understand. Why would he make it complicated? Otherwise, we'd all have to be Philadelphia attorneys to be able to get into the kingdom of God. But we don't have to be real bright. You know, there's people that don't even know how to read or write. There's people that are cab drivers, that are scrub women in buildings, people that are housewives, little children, every kind of walk of life. The ones that have a hard time believing the gospel are scientists and people that think that they're actually doctors, attorneys. I know some doctors that are saved and that believe the gospel very well. And I also know many people that are intelligent to believe the gospel. The thing is, it's easier for just a little child to understand the Scriptures. You just tell them what it says, and they receive it. I know that because I have children of my own, and I have a little one, 5 years old, and she just believes it 100%. And, you know, I just want to get her rooted and grounded very well, just like all my other children that I've been around. I've got a son that believes it. As a matter of fact, he takes part in the services, and he plays guitar, and he actually leads the services and brings messages and gives testimonies in the services. And he's really a person that loves the Lord, and he believes the Lord because he's been trained that way ever since he was very young. And he's still young. He's only 15. He'll be 16 in July. All right, do you have the rest of it here?
Yes. As an example, I drive down the roads and see the Ten Commandments in people's yards, and I hear some minor whimper about what government is doing in these matters. But I also notice that the same people who put out the commandments don't tend to keep them, even as suggestions. On the TV, which I seldom watch, I note that Muslims will bow before their God, which is what people I know here will not do. I saw that woman starve to death, and how even our president couldn't do anything about it. Yet he can kill thousands upon thousands and seemingly gets away with it.
Yeah, they're killing it. All this is not just the president. You know, it's coming from the Vatican. The president is a puppet for the Vatican, but he is part of it. He's not coming up with these ideas. They're actually starving to death thousands upon thousands of people and putting them to death in hospitals today. One of the most dangerous places for people to go today are hospitals, because they've all been trained, oh, if somebody's real sick, they don't believe in the healing of the Lord at all. They're like the demonic scribes in the third chapter of the book of Mark, where they think it's evil to go in and pray for people. That Terry Schiavo, I told the government that if I go in there and pray for her, she will be healed. And they would not let me in there. Because, you see, Satan hates the living human being. The Bible says that it's he, the devil, that is destroying the world and making it desolate. First, he makes it desolate for the Word of God, because the Word of God is the most dangerous enemy to Satan there is, because it exposes Satan's church, government, and media. Now, this is Satan's machine. The machine that is making the entire world desolate. Satan's machine is the Vatican in Rome, the one world government, and the one world church, and the one world news media, the news media on the whole. Now, I have an interview on Wednesday. It's a 2-hour interview from when it's 9 o'clock in Los Angeles. I'll be on from 9 till 11, but the broadcast will be heard all over the world. It'll be on the internet. And I don't know all the different stations that interview is on, but I'll be on there. And getting the Word of God out to the world and explaining the things. Because even Demas Shakirian, who is the head of the Full Gospel Christian Businessmen, whenever he denounced me, he would say, and now here's the most misunderstood man in the world, Pastor Tony Alamo. He called me up to give my testimony. I said, so he knew that there's been so many lies told about us, and by a bunch of scuzzy people. And the Lord calls scuzzy people dogs, pigs. So if you think I'm wrong calling people scuzzy, well, then you'd have to take that up with the Lord, because I could call people pigs and dogs and vomit-lapping dogs, too, those that have fallen away from the Lord. And they just have become so frightened by the Satan's machine that they've actually backed off from serving the Lord and are allowing their souls to go to hell. Satan's machine, again, is the Vatican, who heads the world government, the beast, the Bible calls it, the beast that does the bidding of the whore who sits on her back, that's the, and rides her around the earth, the mother of every abomination, and the news media. And, of course, the religions are right in with them, because most of the religions have decided to join themselves with the Vatican. They call it the United Council of Churches. So when you see a United Methodist, you know that's Catholic. And the Muslims, when you're talking to one of them, you're talking to a Catholic, because it was the Catholics that founded the Muslims. And, you know, all your religions are the most dangerous ones. As you'll see in the book of Mark, the third chapter, it is the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all these religious people that were planning. They were discussing how they would kill the body that God Almighty was living in. And they were going to turn him, they turned him in to the Herodians to destroy, how they could destroy Jesus. And that's exactly what they're doing today, how they can destroy Jesus that is living in us. Now, the Lord is alive here on earth, and he's doing the same, he's here the same way that he was when he was in his own fleshly body. He lives in human beings, and now he's able to live in more human beings than just one, because he became the life-giving spirit after he ascended into the kingdom of heaven, and now he's able to, when people ask him to, he's able to descend into human bodies, everyone that wants him to, and give you the power of God, the spiritual power of God, to live a godly life under his instructions. Now you may say, well, he'll give us the power to, you know, wrestle a bull to the earth or something like that. No, it's according to his word. He'll give you the power to be able to not sin. He'll give you power over death. You'll live. Even if your body dies, you will live forever in heaven. Death, hell, and the grave. And he'll give you power over sin, Satan, and the lusts of this world. But you just really need to stay in the Spirit all the time. And if you do, you'll be able to go right through this hour of temptation that we're living in and make it into heaven. Now, what else does it say?
But all that aside, I'm writing to find out more about your shortwave program. I am seldom up at 5:30 in the morning and wonder if your programs are on different stations in different times.
Well, somebody should send him a copy of our radio schedule. That's absolutely free. You don't even have to worry about the stamp. We'll send it to you with literature that I've written, including my testimony and the Messiah book that shows 333 prophecies of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ from the Old Testament, how he would come into the world. He'd be the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the root of Jesse, the lion from the tribe of Judah, and that he would be born on an exact day, and he was born on that exact day, and that he would die on an exact day, and he died on that exact day. And the Bible says that he would die on a cross, on a tree, and that he'd have nail-pierced hands and feet, and that he would be pierced in the side, sold for the same amount of silver that the Bible says, and all these things happened in the New Testament. That's why it's so ridiculous for people to say that these things didn't happen, because they already happened, and that Messiah book that I have, and it's in many languages, will show you, and you can search history, and you'll see that all these things that the prophets told of Jesus did come to pass. And there are many more. I only mentioned a few of them, and there's 300 and some more, so that you can really believe that Jesus is God and that he was here in the flesh. And if he hadn't come in the flesh, he would not have been able to shed genuine human blood, not God blood, because God doesn't have any blood. Only humans have blood. He had to become a human in order to shed his perfect blood, which is the only detergent in the universe that is capable of washing away all your former sins and my former sins. And then only if we sin after that through ignorance, well, then those sins can be forgiven too. But when I'm talking about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the first chapter of Romans, and you can go into 1 Peter and many other scriptures throughout the Bible that say that he that sinneth is of the devil, and that there's a great falling away because people became so afraid of Satan's machine. Satan's machine. Satan is weak. He's been destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So why would you listen to your flesh when your flesh is yearning, just yearning for all kinds of things that cannot do anything but destroy your soul? And so why do you like to destroy your soul? Why do you like to go to hell and the lake of fire when you can? And you know, you may say, well, your spirit might be so unruly that you're just saying, I don't care. You will care. Like if you, there's a hot griddle someplace. I mean, the whole thing is just where they're frying hash browns and bacon and ham and all these things that I myself eat turkey bacon, and I don't eat ham because it's not an edible food. But you could take yourself and take all your clothes off and lay down on that sizzling hot griddle and see if you'd like to stay there. Well, in hell, it's even cranked up so hot that you just couldn't stand it. There's no possible way. And so all you people that are following Satan's machine, I mean, you're going to have to pay for it. And all you people that are in Satan's machine that are enforcing these things, know one thing, that the Lord is going to get you, and you're going to fry. And that, I just can't understand people being so stupid to not believe God when there's so many scriptures that have been fulfilled of his coming to this world. And he resurrected from the dead, and over 500 people saw him ascend into the kingdom of heaven. And what more would you need? This one person says, go to my brethren and tell them what he was in hell. This rich man that wouldn't allow Lazarus to have anything. And he says, go tell my brethren because of this place. He says, they have the scriptures, they have the prophets, they have all these proofs of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the world. He says, nay, but they shall believe if they see someone raised from the dead. No, all you weasels out there wouldn't believe if somebody was raised from the dead, because Jesus was raised from the dead, and you still don't believe. Well, how do we know? Because there's been, I don't know, thousands for sure that have seen him in visions. Visions from the Lord, and he would be telling the people that he's in the vision. He'd be telling the people that he's appearing to of things that are going to happen, so that you know for sure it's the Lord. Whenever people see Mary, she's not telling them any godly thing. This is a vision from the devil, okay? Because there's so many people exalting Mary over Jesus, and you're not supposed to pray to Mary. I mean, she's a dead Jewish girl. God just used her as an incubator to bring forth the Lord in a human body. She just was the one that brought forth a human body. Had God in, but we today, I have God in us too. Doesn't mean that we are God, but we're members of his body. All right, and so the thing for you to do is to Listen to the scriptures and believe them, because you people that are out there that are taking part in Satan's machine, you're part of it. You better become part of the Lord's body, because this is the machine that's bringing forth the bride of Christ. This is the machine. You've got two machines. You've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and his bride, his messengers here on earth. And then you've got Satan, his machine, the Vatican, the government, one world government, all over the world. And the cultish news media, they're so evil, the things that they're saying and doing. And it's like this person says, it's better if you listen to shortwave, because that's the only way you can get any truth of what's really happening. If you watch the media today, you're going to see people, oh, well, there's a little panda born, and there's a wreck over here. Somebody drove off of the freeway, when there's like nations being bombed out of their skulls, out of their bodies, out of their lives. There's children and women. All these things are going on in the world. So the news media is not telling you anything. You're just wasting your time to listen to it. I'll finish off with this man's testimony here.
I seem to be able to get plenty of, quote, religious information, but most just don't seem to be on target.
Oh, well, while he's listening to the radio or television, they're not on target. That's right.
My Bible says that even the wayfaring man can find the way, and I take that seriously. We are led here and there, but we do have to be responsible for our own salvation. We still can be led astray.
Yeah, that's right. We are responsible for our own salvation. We have to take up the cross. We have to go to the Lord. He's not just going to save you unless you come to him. He says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. You're weak, heavy laden, you need rest. If you need rest, come unto me and I'll give you Sabbath. Sabbath is not just the seventh day, it's every day now. It says the Sabbath days, plural. Every day is we have to rest from our old ways, our old labor, our old things that we trusted in. We, like luck and stuff like this, we have to trust in the Lord. Amen? Go ahead.
It seems to be just human nature that we would prefer to go, quote, over the wall rather than through the gate. We come up with presidents who claim Christianity, yet have absolutely no spiritual weapons. Yet they insist on going to war in the physical sense, and the battle is on the spiritual level.
That's right. Amen.
As a preacher said recently, Satan used to come into a church and pick off one here and one there. Now he comes in and takes over the whole church.
Well, he's trying to do that over here, but we don't allow that to happen. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
How true. This is a letter to let you know that I did hear the program, and I need to hear more. Do you have other stations and times? Do you have literature to be ordered? I doubt that I can hear the early morning programs on shortwave, but it would be good to have the schedule. I had a heart attack earlier in the year and don't sleep well yet, so I don't really know what my schedule will be. I'm usually up late listening to shortwave radio. That seems to be about the only way to keep up with what is really going on in the world.
Right. It doesn't tell you about panda bears being born, or, you know, about some fish that just laid a few eggs or something like that. I mean, you know. Or somebody having fun at the park. That's not news. Okay, what else?
It is certainly no time to sleep. We need to watch and pray and diligently seek. Jerry from Toccoa, Georgia.
Praise the Lord, Jerry. You're right on. So make sure this person gets a letter in about a half a dozen of the last broadcast, and ask them if they want back broadcasts or to be put on the list to get them every day. Free of charge, and let's find out whether they need a tape or a CD, and send them literature as well so they can really get well informed by the Lord. Now I'm switching over to this other microphone here, and we're going to go right back for a moment, a few moments, into chapter 3 of the book of Mark. And it says that Jesus entered again. He entered in. You know, like the song, he entered in. Enter in, my child. Okay, so Jesus entered in. He enters into us. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man there which had a withered hand. You know, all of society is withered. You know, not just their hands or one of their hands, but everybody's withered in one way or another. And the Bible states that we're just like grass, that we spring up for a while and we look good. You know, the grass is real green. Then the sun comes out and then bakes it and it just dies. So everybody is withering. Amen?
Amen.
Withering heights. And all of us have some kind of infirmity or another. And some people say, well, I have good health, and then they drop dead playing basketball, or they get killed playing football. Big guys that appear to be strong, but no one is so strong that they don't have to die or they don't get some kind of sickness. So when he was in the synagogue with this guy that had a withered hand, and they watched Jesus, these scribes, they watched him, whether he would, I'm turning my page now in the Bible, I've got this seeing machine that blows up the words hundreds of times so I can read them. If he would heal this man with the withered hand on the Sabbath day. Now, every day is a Sabbath day. I've written a piece of literature called A True Believer's Sabbath, which means every day we have to rest from our old life. We have to rest from the things that we thought were so dear, and make the Lord the pearl of great price, because he made us his pearl of great price. He died for us. And now we have to die out to the old way that we were in order to show him that we're truly Christians. So they wanted to know if he was going to heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Can you imagine people so evil that they accuse you for doing good? There's a little hip town in Arkansas that we, and they were poverty stricken. Most of the people there are very poor. And so we gave them $60,000 to build a park for the poor children there so that they'd have a place to play. And then we bought a Jaws of Life in the event that anyone was hurt. That ran $5,000. That in case anyone got in a wreck, that they'd be able to pull them out of this wreck and save their lives. And then we also, the town had gotten hit by a ice storm. And this was before all the other things, and we bought we hired a generator for $5,000 a week to turn everybody's lights on, and so they could have water, because the water came from the electricity that pumped the water into their houses. And now they all accuse us because they've heard some false testimonies about us, from a bunch of backsliders. And so they turned on us and said that we just wanted to buy the people of that town. So that's the same kind of people that were, we did good for them. And before that we did this, they had closed some of the brothers' grocery store down because they had been using, ignorantly, they'd been using a water meter there, and all we would have had to do was just got ourselves another meter. I didn't know the problem that existed on it whatsoever, but they closed it down, and then the health department came in and closed it down. And then after that is when the Lord told me, go ahead, and I said, Lord, they're the ones that closed the brothers' grocery store down. He said, overcome evil by doing good. So I rented I called up the mayor, and he wasn't there, his wife. It was late at night, and I said, when are they going to start turning the lights on and the water for everybody? I'm worried about the old folks here and about the kids in town. They don't have any water or lights. And they said, well, he's out there looking for a generator right now. And I said, is that all that's wrong? She said, yes. And so I says, well, I got on the phone. I said, I'll get you a generator. Because the Lord told me, overcome evil by doing good. So I did it. And, oh, they were so happy, and everybody in the Texarkana area thought we were real good people and everything, because they knew that it was in the papers that they closed the grocery store down and that they were wanting to kill us and run us out of town and everything. And now after all that, now they're saying we did that because we were paying the mayor off. And I swear before God, and may God send my soul to hell, If that we gave money to that mayor or any other person in that town. We just gave it for the kids and for the poverty-stricken people there. And we've given them groceries, and people that couldn't pay their light bill, we paid for all that. And we did all these things, you know, because the Lord said that we should do those things. Amen?
Amen.
And so we do them, and now they're trying to make it look evil. And that's what they're trying to do here with Jesus on the... that they might accuse him for healing somebody. Can you know? And then people wonder why people go to hell. Why they send themselves to hell, because they don't read the scriptures enough to know what they're doing wrong. Well, one of the the Lord told me, he says, I'm going to get everyone in that town that hates you, because if they're not hating you, they're hating me, the things that you're doing. But they just, they don't know you. They don't, all they know is they're hearing from a bunch of backslidden homosexuals and drug addicts and people that are running these tattoo shops and stuff like that, where they hook up together to do sadomasochism on each other. Okay, so on the Sabbath day, he healed this person. So this is verse 3, and Jesus said unto the man, which had the withered hand. And remember, everybody in the world is withering, and they're withered. Amen?
Amen.
And God can do the same thing for you. He can take the withering out of your life, whatever it is. You have loved ones that are sick. And that's why I wanted to pray for that Terry Schiavo, because I could see her withering. And I know the Lord's in me, and I know the Lord would have healed her immediately if they would have let me in the room. But this regime, this Vatican, this Satan's machine that runs everything in this world, or thinks they're running everything in this world, would not allow it, because they don't want to give glory to the people that are of the Lord, for the Lord that's living in them. So the Lord told this man with the withered hand to stand forth. And the guy did it, because that's how you are saved by the Lord, is to just do what he says. Now, there's contingencies here. Stand forth! If the guy would have remained sitting down, the Lord wouldn't have done anything for him. Stand forth! And verse 4 says, and he saith unto them, is it lawful, is of God, in other words, to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill, to do good or to do evil. Now, what they're doing on the Sabbath day is planning to kill him, to destroy him, and what he's trying to do is restore everybody. Now, can you understand why these type of people that want to destroy the Lord and his work here on earth, why he allows them to go into hell, and they'll be crying out forever down there, and he won't hear them. He says so in the first chapter of Proverbs. So he said, is it all right to do evil or to save life on the Sabbath or to kill? But they didn't care. So they just held their peace. They just didn't answer. And when he had looked round and about on them with anger. Now here's Jesus. Now do you think that Jesus should have anger management or something like that?
Hey? No.
All these weasels are teaching to have anger management. The Bible says, be ye angry.
Amen.
Be ye angry at the devil, but sin not. Don't be angry at the Lord. Don't be planning to kill him or to destroy his people or to run them out of town. So he was, I looked round about with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. So if the guy wouldn't stretch forth his hand, it would have never been healed.
Amen.
But he did. He stood forth and he stretched out his hand. Amen?
Amen.
He followed the instructions of the Lord. And he stretched forth his hand. He stretched forth it out. And his hand, because he followed the commandment of the Lord, was restored whole as the other hand. And the Pharisees went forth, and straightway, these are Pharisees, and took counsel. They started, hey, you know, what are we going to do about this guy? Counsel with the Herodians against him. This one that had this fantastic power to heal. How they might destroy him. Isn't that something? And they're doing, the devil does the same thing today. Now, we just got word. There's this city council. Half of them are for us in this small town in Arkansas. And half are against us. And one of them is the pastor, of a supposed pastor, of a supposed United Pentecostal Church. Well, he's been coming against us viciously, his family, his daughter, his wife, I don't know who, but against us. And the Lord told me, don't worry about them. I'm going to take care of every single one of them. Well, one of them that was with them out in Florida, he already had a heart attack. He is had a stroke, and he's paralyzed now. He can't even talk because he was talking so bad about us. This has happened hundreds of times down through the years. And then this one, he just finished a message yesterday. It was Sunday. What's today's date? The 3rd?
The 5th.
The 5th of March. And so it was the 4th of March. Well, right after his sermon in his church, he dropped dead. This is one of the most, the instigators. And even the former mayor said so. And everyone in town said so. And he votes against us in the city council all the time if we want to get something done. They're planning to take away a road of ours so that they can come and harass. They've been harassing us. They've been threatening to bomb our place, kidnap our children. They run us out of town to send hitmen after me. I've been sent hitmen by experts, and I'm still alive preaching the gospel. God dropped them dead. And so he dropped dead right after his sermon yesterday, which was Sunday. And they got the defibrillator on him and brought him back to life again. And then he died again. And they put the defibrillator on him again. And then he died again. And then they put the defibrillator on him again, they says, and he is barely alive. And so they rushed him to what hospital?
St. Michael's
Hospital in Texarkana. He's in ICU right now. And not expected to live. He's in very bad shape. Well, we're going to do the godly thing. We're praying for, that God will save his soul. And instead of being so evil and mean like this, that he will save his soul, and then we're going to send him some flowers, because we want to do what the Lord says, to overcome evil by doing good. Now, God said he's going to destroy those people, all of them. Mm-hmm. And so there's two down, and there's maybe about four or five more to go. And, you know, we're praying, God, you know, let them repent before this happens to them. But they don't repent. They get worse and worse. And the good city council say they're not going to stop bothering you. But at any rate, they really need to be born again of the Spirit. They need to be washed in the blood of Jesus. And because if they don't, God is going to get them. They're going to get cut down one of these days. So I'm talking about the ingredients of a compounded spirit. This spirit, for the past 2,000 years, has become an ointment or a healing balm, a balm. A single thing cannot be called an ointment. A single spirit cannot be an ointment or a healing balm or cannot be intensified, because an ointment is a compound of a number of ingredients or elements. This is the fourth void in Christianity. It's a void in Christians. They don't understand these things. It's a void in Christianity today. So the first, there's a fifth void, is seen as seven spirits spoken of in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1 verse 4 and chapter 4 verse 5 and chapter 5 verse 6. When we study the definition of the Holy Spirit, we have to get into and stress these five voids which are covered in these messages that I've been teaching you, bringing to you. The life-giving spirit is the compound spirit. And this compound spirit is the seven spirits mentioned in those three passages that I just mentioned in the book of Revelation. Chapter 1, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 6. The seven spirits are the seven intensified spirits, or the sevenfold intensified spirit mentioned in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation reveals the seven spirits as the sevenfold intensified spirit for the church's ability to suffer degradation in the dark age that we're now living in. And you must have this compound in your soul, in your spirit. And I've run out of time. I was just getting into the depth of this. So make sure you tune in tomorrow to hear the another part of this message. And realize that do not attack any house of God. Now, there's a lot of churches that are synagogues of Satan. But do not attack this church for your own good, not mine. Okay, don't do that, okay? For your own welfare, because God is my defender. God has always defended me, and be watchful for that. So those of you that would like to be saved, I don't know who would not want to accept some of these devils that the Bible talks about, that hates when the Lord heals people's withered souls. But for those of you that don't want to be withered, that you want eternal life, you want life instead of death, you want to live in heaven rather than hell, say this prayer to the Lord. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, because your word is God, and your word, God, does not ever lie. It can't lie. It's impossible for him to lie. So receive your salvation now, and thank and praise the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. And now here's Sharon to tell you how to receive a copy of this program, CD or audio tape, absolutely free, including postage and handling.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow because you don't want to miss this one. Okay, and here's H.V. Barnum's Life Choir singing Life Prayer Song.